venerable Philadelphia, 50 years seems a short history for an educational institution. But those 50 years at Eastern Baptist Theological Seminary have been packed with people and events in an exciting story that starts in the tumultuous 20s. It is the story of an era when Baptists in the North needed a seminary which would proclaim the whole gospel for the whole world. Philadelphia was the center on the Eastern Seaboard for a theological and ecclesiastical debate between positions then known as modernism and fundamentalism. The founders of Eastern wanted to preserve the fundamentals of the faith, but to maintain an ironic spirit and unswerving loyalty to the Baptist denomination. With $26 raised by Dr. John Hainer of the Blockley Baptist Church, six men inaugurated the new seminary on March 19, 1925. Dr. Ralph L. Mayberry, one of those men, remembers.
We started out not knowing whither we were going or whether we were going. And then we met here. There were six of us. Now, when we got started, after those six met and we organized, and that book, Making of Ministers, will tell you how many others were prepared to come in. Men, wonderful men like Curtis Lee Laws, what men they were.
Less than 3 months after the founding meeting, Dr. James A. Maxwell announced a single anonymous gift of $500,000, which enabled the young school to acquire its first buildings in Center City, Philadelphia. To this new school on Rittenhouse Square came students from many sections of North America, 40 by the time of the opening day, 10 more within the first week.
Charles T. Ball, pastor of the Wissanoming Baptist Church, I think, was very active in promoting this new seminary. Wanted very much to be president, and it was necessary for us to elect him president at the very beginning. We couldn't do otherwise. But it was also necessary to find another president.
Dr. W.W. Adams, first professor of New Testament, remembers his first contact with Dr. Ball. It was a September Friday with the new seminary's first classes to begin the following Monday. The assignment, prepare a curriculum over the weekend.
Well, I don't remember how shocked I looked, but he must have known that he had shocked me. Because he certainly did. And yet it took my breath. Because I knew nothing about what curricula are. Till I knew I was up against an assignment. And I couldn't afford to make out a curriculum and go to a man and say, here's what you're to teach, whether he's prepared for it or not. I could have done it, but I'd have guaranteed that we'd been in chaos sure enough. So Ms. Adams and I went to our room and talk about not sleeping. We didn't sleep sure enough. That was Friday, sometime along about 11 o'clock in the morning. We didn't even go to church Sunday. Either time. We worked all day. And sometimes Sunday afternoon, we got in my long handwriting on Ms. Adams, I don't know which one wrote it out, what we were willing to trust as a starter.
By the first commencement, the faculty was complete, the endowment had grown to almost $1 million, and applications by prospective students were increasing at a rapid rate. The board did find a new president who filled that office with distinction for 10 years, Dr. Austin Kennedy DeBloy. Professor Emeritus Nelson Baker reflects.
He was a scholar of stature. He bought many, many valuable books in his England trips to the continent, which enriched our library. He was an impressive speaker, an impressive man to look upon, and a human one, and understanding also.
Dr. Gordon Palmer recalls the events of 1936.
On account of ill health, Dr. DeBlois had to resign from the presidency. We took over with the high hope that we could help the seminary to move forward in every way, in scholarship, in evangelistic fervor, and in the training of the finest young men and women for the Baptist and for other denominations serving Jesus Christ.
Eastern student body had already begun to crowd the aging buildings on Rittenhouse Square.
One day, Mr. Charles Walton, a strong, loyal trustee, came in, and he said that he had heard that the Greenhill Farms in Overbrook was going to be sold. And he looked over the place, and he thought that it would make a very fine home for the Eastern Seminary.
Dr. Gilbert Guffin came from the faculty of Howard College in 1949 to be Eastern's fourth president. During his administration, the Curtis Lee Laws Chapel was built, the gift of Mrs. William H. Doan. The collegiate department became Eastern Baptist College and moved to its own magnificent campus in St. David's. For the first time, both college and seminary were granted full accreditation. And the classroom section connecting Gordon Palmer Hall with the DeBlois Library was erected. Dr. Norman Maring came to Eastern's faculty in those years, and Dr. Norman Paulin, a popular professor and preacher. But recognition and buildings were not the genius of Eastern Seminary and never had been. Professor Emeritus Everett Griffiths, an early graduate and later Old Testament professor and dean, put it this way.
I might say, if I saw the seminary in those early years, it was a school that had a very positive emphasis. It wasn't out in opposition to any other school. It was primarily an attempt to give a positive expression to what Baptists believed. There was a feeling that there were some movements within what was then the Northern Baptist Convention and in theological education that were not in keeping with our traditional interests and concerns as Baptists. And the leaders, the trustees, and the faculty of Eastern were not negative in their approach to these things, and they weren't fighting any particular group. They were out to give a positive interpretation of this biblical Christianity. And I felt it was a very wholesome atmosphere and a very gracious spirit that was evident here.
Dr. Thomas Bruce McDormand came to the presidency of Eastern in 1961 from the denominational leadership of the Canadian Baptists. Dr. Walter Davis became executive vice president and dean shortly thereafter, succeeding Dr. Carl Morgan, whose 20-year deanship and longer period of faculty service had made him Mr. Eastern to a whole generation of Baptists. In 1968, Dr. J. Lester Harnish came from the pastorate of the First Baptist Church of Portland, Oregon, to be Eastern's sixth president. With the support of black pastors, he organized the President's Commission on the Disadvantaged and vigorously promoted the enrollment of black students. He added Dr. Ursel Webb of Jersey City to the board of directors and strengthened seminary life in a variety of ways. His return to the pastorate in 1972 brought Dr. Henry Osgood to the interim presidency, where he served until the coming of President Daniel Weiss in 1973. Through changing presidencies and faculties and campuses, students have come and gone more knowledgeable and more deeply committed to Christ. They have occupied pastorates, modest and prestigious. They've gone to distant lands. They have given leadership among Baptists and in many other denominations. And still they come to wrestle with complex issues, to develop skills in communication, to form friendships and loyalties. Those who work and teach and study here can understand Dr. Ralph Mayberry's feelings half a century later.
I'm tremendously pleased. With our president, our faculty, the staff, the student body. Some of them don't look the same as the students look back in 25. Neither do I. But they're great boys and girls. And it's just one of the highlights of my life to have been privileged to be a part of Eastern Baptist Theological Seminary.
We'll join the-